True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Folks, every Tuesday we set aside a little time in our hour to talk about NOLA Coalition, a lot of the participating members. More often than not, they are not for profits, but there are governmental agencies that participate in the NOLA Coalition as well, and there are several. And today, Daniel Shanks joins us. He is a member of the New Orleans District Attorney's Office and the leader of the New Orleans Data Informed Community Engagement Program, and he's here to talk to us about that. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, how are you doing today?
Doing well. So if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, kind of give us the background of, you call it NODICE, right?
Yes, sir.
Of NODICE, when it started, and where you find yourself in the evolution of NODICE at the present time.
Yeah, so NODICE, New Orleans Data Informed Community Engagement, was started at the end of 2023. And what we wanted to utilize is see if we could better understand the urban landscape and its contributions to crime. So when I say the urban landscape, I'm talking about factors such as outlights, corner stores, blighted buildings, anything where we see approximate correlation to crime. And we use a technology called risk terrain modeling to, you know, assign risk scores to those specific types and factors in urban geography so that we can better understand what is going on and what those correlations are. What we do from there is we take that data, we look at crime trends over the last 2 years, and then we bring it to community. So that could be a neighborhood association. It could be just leaders within the community, the nonprofits, the businesses. And we gather everybody together and we say, look, you know, all this data is two-dimensional, but the third dimension is the community. You tell us what's happened over the past few years, over the past few decades, that's led to this increase in crime. And what we're primarily focused on is the areas where we see heavy concentration of gun violence. And after we work with community, we develop interventions to see how we can, you know, impede that crime.
So the objective criteria would be this urban landscape stuff that you're putting into that risk score. And the subjective component would be the community feel, how they feel about what they're living in each and every day, right?
Yeah, I mean, the lived experience is everything. Right. Like I said, that data doesn't tell us much beyond there's some correlation between the actual landscape and the crime. But the lived experience really fills in those gaps to give us a real important picture about what type of interventions need to be made.
So, Daniel, is there a scale that's used? I mean, you add all of these criteria numbers up, and is it on a scale of 1 to 10, or how does that work? Is there a score?
Yeah. So there's a risk score that's assigned to each, and we have a software that we've teamed up with CIMSI and Dr. Joel Kaplan. This was originally started in Newark out of his work in Rutgers, and a number of cities around the country have adopted this technology and are utilizing it. So that software, once we put in both the raw data of the outlights, the street poles, the bus stops, anything that we can put our hands on, and then put it in that software with the crime data, it then gives us those correlation scores saying, okay, here's the crimes that you're looking for, and here are those urban factors that are within some proximate perimeter of what the software is asking for.
So is there a composite score? So I'm just trying to get a feel for, like, if there's a number, what's a low number?
Yeah.
Which is
so
bad,
that's actually a really
or
great question.
A high number? Or how does that work?
Right. So what it will tell us is it will then list out, we give the geographic parameters for the area that we're looking at because of the crime we see in there. And then it'll spit out a list of those factors, and it'll assign them a risk score. So a risk score of 5 is very high for corner stores, gaming locations, out street lights. All of these get assigned their own score. And what that, then says is, like, we want to prioritize those street lights that are out. But it also allows us, if there's a lot of corner stores where there's crimes, we then engage those corner stores, or we ask the community what type of involvement. And I can give you a few examples of what those interventions look like.
So is there then kind of a composite score given, or is it just in these individual characteristics that y'all are measuring?
Yeah, so each characteristic that has approximate location to the crime is given that risk score. So let's say, out street lights still have a risk score of 5 compared to all the other factors that might be assigned. Blighted housing might have a risk score of 2. And so there in that location, I might say it's the out street light that's the problem.
Right. Okay. So it stays at a very granular level. There's not an overarching composite score given to a geographic region.
That's actually a really good point, Newell, because what it can do is also look at the general crime trends in New Orleans and tell us that we're, someone's 28 times more likely to be the victim of gun violence. And that's kind of one of the why we'll focus in on an area. So we looked at the 2023 stats for the Treme area, and specifically Claiborne and Esplanade, and we found that someone's 28 times more likely to be the victim of gun violence there. And we didn't really understand why. So then we went to our risk factors, and, tire shops came up, brought this to the community, and the community says, well, yeah, it's the 24-hour tire shop that's been there for, decades. This has been a plague on our community. And so from that point, we then start working with our federal partners, do some undercover buys at that tire shop. And because of Title 40, we're able to seize the tire shop. And then we make a whole bunch of other interventions. We ask DPW to install brand new lighting from Claiborne to Esplanade, petition for DOTD. And thanks to the work of Rep. Knox and Senator Duplessis, that whole area was pressure washed. Another location where two girls were shot in 2023, the hookah joint, didn't have an occupational license. So we had safety and permits shut them down. And what we see with those interventions, with the data and those interventions, we saw in 2024 a 70% reduction in gun crimes in that area.
Daniel, I love what y'all are doing. I think it has an incredible value. Interestingly, you just said something that kind of struck me, because, like, for example, in Jefferson Parish, there are permits you can't get unless you have your occupational license, so there's stopgap points that you can't go any further unless you get something in order to get further to actually open a business. Have y'all been able to affect any change, like with safety and permits and the permitting process inside the city? Because it would make it a hell of a lot easier for you guys if they did, to have a business that's was able to open and get this and get a safety, a health permit or a safety permit, but don't have an occupational license, is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately for safety and permits, a lot of businesses will just open and start operating without that occupational license in hand. And so really it's a matter of, you know, finding those locations and then enforcing the laws on the books. So that's really a frustration. But I think what's exciting about No Dice is that whenever we do any intervention, we're bringing in everybody to the table. So safety and permits, code enforcement, sanitation, our federal partners, our local partners, nonprofits, the business community, and then we can all collaborate on these specific issues and having everybody at the table with their relative leverage to enforce change has been extremely powerful. We saw this at London Lodge. You know, I think we probably had 14 different agencies come to bear, and that was the first time we utilized the city's padlock ordinance. And it was, you know, today it's rubble. It's been demolished. It's really powerful. It ain't there no more. So it's really powerful when you have everyone at the table. And I think the data really is the catalyst for everything because it really gives us a picture. And then when you bring the community in the room, it gives us a wider picture. And then everybody is really engaged on how do we make this change. And there's a lot of people in the room that have a lot of influence on how that can happen. And I think that's, you know, come to bear in the numbers that we're seeing right now in crime. You know, 2024, we had 124 homicides. 2019, we had 122, and that was a 48-year low at that time. So I'm really impressed. We've had 50% reduction in homicides over the last 2 years, and that's a result of coordination on every single level and all of us working towards this end.
See, what I like about it is, like with your tire store example, if you went to calls for service, you probably wouldn't see a lot, you know, there. Because a lot of what's going on there, you don't have a traditional victim, right? The victim would be one that's engaged in criminal behavior. If something went astray or went wrong, well, they're not likely to call in. You see the same thing with London Lodge. A lot of the potential victims there, whether or not it was a prostitute, drug dealer, or otherwise, they're not calling the police if there's a conflict. And, you know, so you're looking at characteristics from a whole different perspective that, you know, is as a result of this void of how we traditionally identify problematic areas, because we look at calls service first. It's the path of least resistance. What's going on there? But that's not the tell-all, right?
That's correct. And I mean, we have to have a wider lens. And I think this is what this risk terrain modeling affords us and this collaboration affords us with community. Because if we just go on the data that we get from calls of service, you just might have a neighbor who really, really wants, who really, really has a problem and calls every single night. That doesn't necessarily reflect the gravity of the problem. And I think this enables us to do that. And, you know, when it comes to our interventions, it's not just about shutting down places. You know, Hardin Park, this is the first recreational facility dedicated to children of color in 1941. And in 2023 and 2024, we saw this large spike in violence. I mean, multiple homicides, multiple shootings, armed robberies, all happening in and around Hardin Park neighborhood. And when we went to the community with this, we asked them, you know, what is the number one intervention? And there was a number of interventions that we've been involved with, but the one that's most important is the activation of the park. I mean, it's a yeah, beautiful park, and the neighbors keep it up very well, but there's no programming there. And so we've been working with NORD and the NOLA Coalition on how do we recruit players and coaches. And actually this Saturday, we're working, you know, thanks to the sponsorship of NOLA Coalition, we're having a recruiting drive for players and coaches. And why is that important? It's because in this entire area, there is nothing for the kids to do. One of the neighborhood leaders came to me the other day and he said, I saw that the kids broke in to the facility at the park and I thought they were up to no good. So I went into the facility and I found them. And what they were doing is that they were putting on uniforms and they were putting on shoulder pads because they just wanted to play. And that should break everyone's heart who's listening, is that we don't have anything productive for these kids to be doing in the evenings and in the summer. And, you know, playing ball isn't merely about just something to do. This is about mentorship. This is about conflict resolution. This is about team building. And you know, our interventions vary from shutting down a business to activating a park. And we're just really blessed to have a partner in the form of NOAA Coalition that can support us in this endeavor. Because what we want to see is that park activated, that community built. And when community is built, community feels empowered. And those calls for service start coming back up, and they become less desensitized to the violence that's happening around them, and they want to take control of it by working with, you know, law enforcement, working with the DA's office. So we're really excited about, you know, the varied interventions that we can make and the positive impact we can have.
I completely and totally agree with you. In my view, you can't succeed fast enough. You know you can't stack the successes fast enough. And unfortunately, and you know, I've talked about this many times with many council members, Michael Heck and others, you know, NORD kind of checked out during COVID. They never really reestablished themselves. They've struggled to do so. There hasn't been what I would call incredible leadership there. And this, what you have just described, is the byproduct of that neglect, quite frankly. And I don't know that everybody's connecting these dots. You know, look, I get it. They're trying. You know, we got good-hearted people in every agency. But, you know, you manage up and you lead down, and there's been big failures here for a while. And we hadn't just been focused on these priority issues that have huge downstream wins that we could have. I mean, you just described one. I mean, you described several, you know, and it's not rocket science at the end of the day. It really isn't that hard to connect these dots.
Yeah, I agree with you about it not being hard to connect the dots. I'm no expert in recreation, but what I'm concerned about is where there's crime and there's no positive places for kids to live. And so I'm happy to work with whoever just to make sure that we can help and assist. And that's why, you know, working with NOLA Coalition to get this player and coaches drive moving, you know, we're happy to be there. We're happy to help. We just want to make sure that kids have, you know, positive influences in their life, especially when they're begging for them, especially when they're having to break in to facilities just so that they can feel a part of something that's not there right now. So, you know, that's our effort, and we're excited to be teaming up with everybody to get this done.
You know, Daniel, the challenge for the community at large and government and the business community is to take your anecdotal wins day in and day out and turn those into systemic wins, right?
Yeah.
Where the system is really driving this. And that's where we are at the present time, I think. And it's just my humble opinion. So we got a lot of wins going on. We got to change the system to make sure that we're fostering a landscape where it just almost comes naturally, right? And in fact, anything to the contrary, we would call it out, you know, and say, wait a minute. We got six lights out. What the hell is going on? You know,
right.
That's not acceptable, you know, and we're not there. And that's where we need to get, because I'm sure what you found there, too, is that lighting was a problem. Maybe even maintenance and grass cutting was a problem. And there were other issues, right?
No, absolutely. And I mean, this has really been the DA's mission in No Dice is, you know, we focused on four neighborhoods last year and we saw significant reductions in crime in each of them. Okay, we now know it works. How do we institutionalize this? How do we say, okay, we're coming together on a monthly basis, but how do we scale this in a way that we can take these wins and bring it to the entire city? And this is something that the DA is working on and is passionate about and has enabled me to work on this full time. And we're excited about you know, what that looks like moving forward, saying we have a program that works. How do we make sure that every piece of New Orleans is touched by it? I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about where we are. I'm excited about the crime stats. I'm excited about scaling this in a way that can ensure its longevity and ensure that it's sustained.
I share that excitement. We wish you all the best and all the successes in the future. You kind of win the game one step at a time, right? You're not hitting them out the park every day. You got to just consistently hit these base hits, and things will change. And we really appreciate your effort, and thank you so much for coming on and sharing the story with us.
It's a privilege to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. That's Daniel Shanks. He's with the New Orleans District Attorney's Office, and he is the leader of the New Orleans Data-Informed Community Engagement Program. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
So we didn't get a chance to earlier when we visited with Stephen Procopio, who is the president of the Public Affairs Research Council, otherwise known as PAR, to discuss Amendment Number 1, Specialty Trial Court and Discipline of Lawyers. Certainly we want to give the Louisiana Supreme Court the ability to oversee disciplinary matters involving lawyers who practice in the state, as well as, at least I think, and also those lawyers from out of town. A lot of what's going on in the disciplinary model, I think, needs to be looked at. I'm open to things changing in that regard. Again, the way that these amendments present themselves, they're pretty broad in nature. The specialty court one, I mean, are we talking about criminal courts, civil courts, both courts? Are we talking about appointing judges, creating administrative courts, and appointing judges? Or are we talking about expanding programs within courts of original jurisdiction? What are we actually talking about? Parr points out that there's 69 active specialty court programs to include drug courts, veterans courts, family preservation courts, DWI courts, reentry courts, behavioral health courts. And that's all according to the Supreme Court's latest annual report. More than half of the specialized courts in the state of the 69, 38 of them are drug courts. And a lot of them are conduct their business differently from district to district. There are some general rules in which they have to follow. I'm not opposed to specialized courts, but it'd be nice to know exactly what we're thinking about in the construct of same. We have a lot of courts. We have a lot of judges in this state. You know, so it's just something to think about in that respect as to where we are going there. Amendment number 3 says, do you support an amendment to provide the legislature the authority to determine which felony crimes, when committed by a person under the age of 17, may be transferred for criminal prosecution in adult court? There's a limited number of crimes that can be juveniles brought to adult court. And, you know, so they want to be able to expand that at any point in time by legislative action, as opposed to being limited in that regard. And the question is, in my view, there's a lot of crimes that probably should be on that list because of what's going on the streets of our state, of our city, of our jurisdictions across the state. I would probably be in favor of it. Largely, the violent offenses that are there in the current under the Constitution currently that allows to be removed from juvenile court to adult court: first degree murder, second degree murder, manslaughter, aggravated rape, armed robbery, aggravated burglary, aggravated kidnapping, attempted first-degree murder, attempted second-degree, forcible rape, simple rape, second-degree kidnapping, a second or subsequent aggravated battery, the same with burglary, and the same with burglary of an inhabited dwelling. There are a number of other crimes that folks would like to see put on that list, and I think it's probably worth the discussion as it relates to any number of issues that we have out here with the challenges of fentanyl and all kinds of other issues that we may want to consider. Amendment number 4, which is, do you support an amendment to provide for the use of the earliest election date to fill judicial vacancies? So Parr points out a vote 4 would change the timing requirements for filling a judicial vacancy or newly created judgeship, so the special election coincides with the regular elections calendar. A vote against would keep the election rules for filling a judicial vacancy or newly created judgeship that requires the special election to be held and a judge to be seated within 12 months after the vacancy began. More often than not, you would find an election date within that 12-month period of time. And it would seem to me that you would want to stick to the regular elections calendar as much as possible. The cost of these elections are not cheap, and you give the authority to someone who's calling these elections to have these off elections that ensure the election of certain judicial candidates at certain times for different reasons. It just doesn't seem fair to me at all. All right, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about these constitutional amendments. We've got some time when we come back from the break. We'd love to go to the talk lines. Give us a shout. We'll be right back. Love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. One of the big concerns that I've had about a lot of this, what is presented in some of the amendments from a fiscal perspective, is changes that are coming our way from D.C. Not that I'm concerned about all of these changes, just kind of what the position that we find ourselves in at the present time. And it's going to be interesting to see how we respond to these challenges, right? You've heard me talk about poverty in this country and as it relates to bringing in more impoverished immigrants, whether legally or illegally, doesn't seem to me to be a good strategy, especially with some of the most recent data that's been released by the USDA and the Census Bureau. When you talk about food assistance in this country, 41.7 million Americans, which is 12.3% of the population, rely on SNAP. The total annual cost of that is $93.8 billion, right at $94 billion. It's down a little bit from the pandemic, but it's still historically high. The recipients break out as follows. 33% of the recipients are kids. 25% are adults aged 30 to 49, and with women at 54%, slightly outnumbering men at 46%. Non-Hispanic whites represent about 36% of the recipients, while blacks represent 22.7%. They make up 13% of the population, and Hispanics drawing 29.1%. They make up about 18 to 19% of the population, so they are disproportionately represented compared to their share of the general population. Whites are at 36.1. They're typically anywhere between 58 to 62% of the population. Right? In Louisiana, what's really striking, remember, nationally, 12.3% of the population is on SNAP. In Louisiana, 22% of households and 18% of individuals receive SNAP benefits, the second highest rate in the nation. Louisiana households receive an average of about $380 per month in benefits, while individuals receiving about $187 per month. So when we're looking at changes in how this money's going to be sent down and how it's going to be managed by the state, it's going to be interesting to see how we come to grips with a lot of these changes, a lot of changes in Medicaid at the same time, poverty rates. It's why the other day when I was talking about out-migration versus in-migration, and we're exchanging higher-income families for lower-income families, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but that's not a good calculation for our microeconomy here in Southeast Louisiana or the state of Louisiana. And with that is the presentation of a lot of different challenges. It's why I was, you know, probing with Stephen Procopio about freeing up some of these dollars and not really having them dedicated, going to the general fund, and kind of just why would we not want to address our present circumstances. Legacy costs in this state, not unlike every other state, legacy costs, meaning the funding and financing of public pensions, is a huge calculation. And most states are behind the eight ball. And they're never going to catch up. The same, some of the same similarities exist between these legacy cost and what we're seeing with the Social Security Trust Fund, right? If we start right-sizing government, for example, in the state of Louisiana, in the short term, it's going to create huge problems, and in the midterm, too, huge problems for those pension systems. You don't have new money coming in. If you haven't reached a vesting time period in the sheriff's pension fund, 20 years to vest. A lot of pensions are at 12. Some are at 10. Historically, there's been some as short as 7. I don't know if those still exist after pension reform. But the longer the vesting, the more stable it is for your pension fund, and a very conservative approach there, because if you leave prior to vesting, you can leave your money in just in case you return, but you can also take your money out. But you only take out what you contributed. What the employer, the state agency or other contributed, they don't get it back. That stays in the fund to help finance that fund, and it helps address the unfunded accrued liability. So when we think about these things, we just continue to kick the can down the road, and we're freeing up these dollars, you know, for the state legislature to have the ability to be more nimble and to be able to fund and finance other things. But we're staring a situation in the face each and every day that we know our present circumstances are not good by any stretch of the imagination, and they're not getting appreciably better in the short term or the midterm. And every time we go through these cycles where the market's not good and our target rate of our investments are too high, you know, that we assume a return greater than the average return out there, because you are limited to some extent as to what you can invest these dollars in, thankfully. Because we have seen pension funds upside down. We've had that issue come up on this show with local fire, police, municipal employees, others, you know, where they're asking for more money. The city's upside down like every day. And I don't know that it's getting appreciably better for them in a number of these systems. They can't catch up. And that's why, you know, when we look at our next mayor, in fact, Oliver Thomas announced that he's running today, all of these folks, we need to pin them in the corner as to how they're going to address these situations. Because we as taxpayers are the ones that are getting burdened with this prioritization. We're off and running, funding all kinds of crazy things when we can't even fund basic services and deliver that. You just heard Daniel Shanks talking about playgrounds. Woefully underfunded, not executed, poor leadership, no priority set, no strategy, and we wonder why we had high murder rates, high incidents of violent crime, you know, property crimes and the like. We wonder why. We cannot be all things to all people. We have to carve out a prioritization, and we have to zing. But we've got a lot of challenges. And these challenges, these hurdles, they're not getting lower. In fact, they're getting higher. And as the federal government wants to take state and local government off the federal tit, it's going to get even harder for us to do this. And it's going to beg of leadership in setting priorities and the discipline to stay focused on those priorities so we can turn this around. so that we can create a landscape where the in-migration is going to be far greater than the out-migration, and that we will bring in higher wage earners than lower income wage earners, because it's important to the survival of our city if we want to grow from a third-tier city to a second-tier city, plain and simple. And that's why with each piece of legislation, each constitutional amendment and the like, we need to educate ourselves as to what's being presented. I would encourage you to go on these amendments to www.parlouisiana.org. It's 24 pages. It's not a long read, but it kind of lays it out in a structured way where you can better understand what it is that you're actually voting on. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we will visit with Dr. Robert Hogan about the president's attempt to close the Department of Education.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.